Camorne is with the Michigan Medical Association. He's on the end of our McLaren Health Plan phone line. Michael, how are you?
Good, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Hold on the line for a minute. I want to read you this letter I received last week, and it reads as follows. Tony, I listened to you in the AM. I know that you cover the Michigan medical marijuana issues. My son uses medical marijuana, and I support him in its use. I feel strongly that it should be allowed for medical use only. Medical marijuana turned my son's life around after an injury left him with chronic pain. Prescription pain medicines have a lot of nasty physical side effects. The Michigan, the medical marijuana lets him have somewhat of a normal life without those side effects. We get the updates from the medical marijuana associations. I hope you don't mind me staying anonymous with this letter. She did not leave a name or an address. She believes, she writes that the pending bills in the state legislature give me a lot of concern. It seems the response was so strong that the lawmakers are taking a second look. My son grows his own. We take extreme measure to follow the law. We have had a lawyer analyze our growing setup and procedures, keep a locked facility that only our son can access inside our home, which we also secure, transport in locked containers, etc. We still live in fear of law enforcement. The vagueness of the law gives law enforcement officers or prosecutors the leeway to interpret even our strong effort to comply as illegal. We may win in court, but only after bankruptcy and losing our reputations. The first time I had to transport plants, I called the state police anonymously and asked their expert how to do it legally. I was told that I was passing through seven counties, that each one could interpret my means of transport as illegal. One of the things you never hear on the news is interviews with the people who actually use the law about their issues and problems. What do you think about that email?
Well, it really sums up in great detail what a lot of patients and caregivers are going through. You know, first of all, it's so I understand the need and the desire to want to be anonymous, and that is the pivotal issue as far as what's happening with patients and caregivers. They don't feel comfortable coming forward. They still feel like they're, by exposing themselves and saying who they are, that they're going to be subject to arrest or prosecution. Cannabis is we've learned is a tremendous medical plant that can be used for to treat a number of different disabilities, and it's non-toxic. That's the key. It's a non-toxic medicine. The use with her son is a story that we hear over and over and over again. Michigan, and he may not be in the workforce that I speak of, but the workforce for the last 50, 60 years in Michigan has been laborers. They have injuries. They're in chronic pain, and without that in an eyelash, they could go to any doctor any day of the week, and they would be written a script for Vicodin, oxycodone, what have you. The Michigan Department of Community Health that runs the Michigan Medical Marijuana Program has a statistic that 27% of Michigan households are utilizing opiates to treat their chronic pain. That's about 2.5 million people. The Michigan Registry has a mere 130,000, and these are the people that we're talking about. These are the people that are learning that cannabis, in fact, is non-toxic and can treat a number of different conditions. Now, the mother goes on to talk about a number of different things which people don't hear about. The level by which she had to go to believe or at least put a little peace of mind in her head that they're not going to get raided for some reason. And the detail by which she was describing the locked and closed facility cannot be underestimated. First of all, from a lawyer's perspective, if anyone's growing cannabis, it's got to be in a locked and closed facility and nobody can have access other than the person who's growing it, okay? But the reality is that if law enforcement comes in and finds that a door is unlocked, you have a dead plant in the garbage, and that would be your 13th plant, these are the things that are leading to arrest. The tragedy of what's happened in Michigan and its inability to implement the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act is you have a emergence of a new type of investigator. It's called a specialist in the loopholes of the protections of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. What you have is law enforcement officers looking for the loopholes to arrest people and bring them in court. If you knew the number of times, like that mother when she called the law enforcement agency and asked for some guidance, you know how many times I've done that? You know what the answer is? Those things will be ferreted out in court, law enforcement will say. We're going to arrest you, and we'll let the courts figure it out, okay? And I'm going to tell you that the community as a whole has been begging, seeking guidance from law enforcement. What can we do? What can't we do? And the answers are, we're going to arrest your person, take it to court. I mean, it's an amazing story, and she also brings up a very, very, very important point, which are these bills that are pending in Lansing. The last few weeks, we've been discussing, for the last year, the legislature's been toiling with amending the act, amending the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. In order to do that, they would need a 75% vote because it was an initiative from both houses. This is going to be a very, very difficult task. But just to show you how off they are in recognizing what the issues are, the five bills or four bills that are pending that are scheduled for hearing this Thursday at 10:30 in Lansing is that they do nothing to extend the protections to patients or caregivers. The legislative bills proposed are going to create more loopholes, more rules that will allow law enforcement to find these loopholes to protection. If they were really serious, the legislature, about implementing this act as they were supposed to do, they would have the cards out on time. What I'm talking about is a 7 to 8 month delay in providing the medical marijuana cards to patients and caregivers who followed the law, made their application, and they're still getting arrested because they don't have their card.
Michael, sure. It would seem that the Attorney General, as well as legislators, as well as law enforcement, are cracking down because there are so many people who are using the vagueness of the laws to profit in ways that they shouldn't be, that people are opening shops and not doing it the correct way. They're robbing some of these people. There's all, with the vagueness of the law and with dealing with medical marijuana, there's bad people who, I guess, make it tougher for the people who are using the medicine correctly.
Yes, I would agree with that. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that people take advantage of the law. And I'm not suggesting that the medical marijuana community isn't against those people. I'm saying that the solutions that they're offering are not going to correct any of the so-called issues. If the concern of the government is to address the issues of businesses and making money and whatnot, that can be done by a completely different mechanism unrelated to amending the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. If the concerns are where to put these distribution centers, you know, how to tax, and where the money's going to go, you can create a separate bill. You don't need to amend the act itself.